on 1116 SEN. Crunch Time. Voted 4 times most outstanding radio show for Ringwood Mazda. When it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal.
Inside 50, Sam Lanza's forced to defend. Rove at the front, Delidio, if you don't mind. Open goal, banked it home! Tigers have got 3. Fremantle haven't bothered the scorer.
The ball movement of Richmond's tonight is outstanding. Absolutely rapid, and they're running at pace when they hit the footy.
Love when the Tigers are up and about, and they're up tonight. Oh, well done, coming across by Sheridan. Although the ball's roped by Morris. Hand pass here. Griffiths has already kicked one. No, he's now kicked 2. He bends it around with a ripper. With the ride, they're up and going, the Tigers.
So it just shows once the first kick goes out, they're onto it very quickly, Richmond, and they're covering the ground with ease at the minute.
Morris is there. He's loose now. He should hand pass down the line. He does. Taken by Grigg. He snapped. He bends it. He kicked another one.
I've never seen this crowd so stunned. 8 straight against a Ross line side. Yeah, for 4 quarters, but in the first quarter.
Brandon Ellis closes on 50, kicks it long, and bangs it home. They stood off and invited Richmond to free ball through the middle. Been a big win, and arguably they're the form team of the comp right now. 4 wins in a row. And they beat some big scalps too. Stand by, Richmond fans. They love coming to Perth. That's 3 in a row in the West. This is the best. 15-7-97 to 10-10-70.
A fighting fury with the Tigerland.
Oh, it's an impressive win. You know, I was really proud of the boys, the way they played. They went about the task and, you know, they stuck to the process we thought would work. And, you know, it's a real credit to them.
A Tiger triumph for Damien Hardwick and his team, and the coach will join us after overcoming footy's toughest test.
McFarlane goes the long option. He had Barlow short. Cavanagh should mark. He doesn't. Roving the ball, Walters. He has it on the wing. He's got a player inside. Good vision. Hand pass. Fit the vision. Comes back to Walters. He can hand pass. He fresh hand to hand pass. He missed it. Gets it to Tavener. He ignores the short option.
Kick
and then
hope.
Bangs and hopes and kicks it inside 50. The whole little chain of possessions by Fremantle was poor.
Well, they were all reactive then, Fremantle. They conceded that he took the mark, Sandy Lands, and he didn't complete it. They all just stopped. Jack Rewalt kept playing the ball. And that's a simple thing we learn in juniors. Play to the whistle.
He's fallen over. Daniel Pearce is wearing ball-bearing shoes. Oh. There's the kick by the Dockers. He's kicked it out of bounds on the full.
Actually, looks like Freo played a game yesterday and Richmond have had 3 weeks off.
He just highlights how good league teams can be if you don't compete in the manner that you need to impress you. So, it was good feedback for our group, as disappointed as we are.
Was it the loss they needed, or did the Tigers show everyone else how to beat Fremantle? Ross Lyon will be our headline guest.
I don't think the team is mentally weak, but clearly there's players that aren't able to get over the past.
I'm the leader of this team, and I'm really disappointed that I have to miss games.
He's got to look after himself a little bit, but he's certainly very committed to being there.
Time for Gary Ablett to stand up, and part of that is playing with injuries and playing it.
You know, I really want to be out there with my teammates right now, but I think it'd be selfish of me to go out and, you know, play with the way my shoulder is at the moment.
I think the first thing it shows is they're not 100% dedicated. Yeah. They're not right in. They probably want to be, they probably think they are, but they're not.
And it was a no-brainer that eventually more ball winners were going to exit and scrimmage with their head first to try and draw free kicks. I just feel for the umps. I think it's so difficult to adjudicate.
It's been another big week for AFL News. In the Crunch, we'll ask all the questions that matter on and off the field. And the teams on the agenda today include Carlton, Melbourne, Essendon, the Gold Coast, of course, North Melbourne and the Cats. And in the Saturday Spotlight, we'll analyse the fine line between coaches getting it right and getting it wrong. It's another big edition of Crunch Time, with thanks to Ringwood Mazda, because when it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal.
Hope you feel it the way I feel it. Hope you feel it the way I feel it too.
Well, I reckon there's some Tiger fans around town who haven't felt better, with a bye coming up. A massive win over Fremantle, a win by 27 points, an incredible opening quarter where they kicked 8 goals to 3, and they've got home and their season looks like it's in good shape at 6-4. Damien Hardwick will join us as will Ross Lyon after Fremantle's first loss of the season. The Tigers are sitting in fifth, and they're sitting pretty. David King, Dermot Brereton, Mark Robinson are here. We're all in the same room together at the MCG ahead of our coverage of Carlton and Adelaide coming up later. Derm, did you think Richmond had a realistic chance of winning?
Yeah, I thought they'd give a good account of themselves.
Did
I
you think they had a realistic chance of winning last night?
I didn't think they'd win. I did not think they would win, but... Yeah, but then I didn't think Hawthorn would win the premiership of grand final week last week either.
Without taking anything away from Richmond, was it a perfect storm in that Fremantle had a really tough game the week before?
Short break.
Tigers, you know, they beat Essendon, but it wasn't a game that necessarily would have taken that much out of them. And Freo had, I guess, a due for a loss.
What a feather in Essendon's cap. It wouldn't have taken that much
well,
out
the
of them.
Well, the way the game was played is what I was saying. Is there anything in that or not?
Well, there were some signs last week. There were some poor defensive efforts last week, from which is un-Fremantle-like in terms of manning up at the opposition's forward 50 entries. Adelaide got free countless times, and we cut some vision last week to show. But in the end, you looked at the game and you thought, you know what, we don't think Richmond are going to be able to cash in on what Fremantle will deliver regardless. I mean, they're that well organised. It's the house of pain over there at Subiaco. You're just not going to win. So in the end, we didn't show it. And we kick ourselves for not doing that. But I think that that's selling Richmond's plan a bit short. Everything had to go right for them. They had to start well. And to convert well the way they did just kept them bubbling, didn't it?
Quite a few things went wrong for the
Eight
Dockers
goals won.
As well. You know, there were kicks down the line that sort of just veered over the boundary line by 30 centimetres out in the full. The ball gets turned around. And then when... one quarter in, when Johnson goes off, it means that they are starting to try and match up guys, you know, 186 centimetres with 200 centimetre Tyrone Vickery and the likes, and it really threw them out. And that can happen again. And Richmond, as you say, we didn't think they would, but they cashed in and they did really, really well.
You're starting to sound like the Channel 7 commentators, you two. How about we start giving Richmond credit for, I reckon, what was a...
Sorry, I was asked a question.
A sensational... Yeah.
So you gave him a chance. Did you tip Richmond, did you?
No, I did not.
Oh.
No,
I did not. I thought the question was, did you give Richmond a chance?
I know Haddo hadn't spoken to me yet. He just spoke to you. Am I answering the same question?
Well, you can...
Welcome, Mark.
Hello, I didn't think Richmond could win either.
Thank you, Mark.
But... I got sick and tired of hearing of the woe Freo last night when I thought Richmond put together what I would what I call in my head a very professional game of football.
Which you're bordering into an entirely different conversation.
Yeah, but that's right. We've got 2 hours.
It's a coaching triumph, isn't it, for Damien Harmer? This whole month.
And they were 2-4. They were 2-4. They were in real strife, and they had that. Really, just a morale booster, Sunday afternoon slog in the lights, a bit of drizzle against Collingwood, and it got them over the line. And from there, they thought, well, we've got things going. Deledio coming back gave them a different point of view up in the forward line, to the point last night when they had their blitz in the first quarter. But when they were under a bit of siege, they actually controlled the game. They didn't... You were talking last week about how do teams go with momentum.
Yep.
Do you fight it? Do you go quick against it? Do you stop? Richmond, I thought last night, through their leaders, and their young players as well, but their leaders, they controlled the tempo at times. And I thought, this was really good by Richmond, who were able to change the way they were playing mid-quarter.
Well, the game was... Look, this sounds ridiculous, but with about 7 minutes to go, Doom, the game was on again. The game was live, and Freo just couldn't convert. Walters missed. Pav, for whatever reason, had a horror night.
Didn't he?
The one mark he took came to him at chin height, and he jumped to try and take it as a chest mark. Yeah. He was so out of confidence by then.
The greasy conditions didn't help them get back, did it?
They just had a period where they couldn't convert, and it was only 20 points the difference. And that's the play you talk about when the leaders of the Richmond Football Club got hold of the ball and said, let's just go through the stars for a minute. Let's not
cool down.
Involve anyone else.
Yep.
Martin kicked it to Cochin.
Yep.
Cochin went down the line
to Deledio.
And I think it went back to Cochin again. And then they went inside 50 and Big Ivan took the mark.
Yeah.
And that was enough. That was enough to say, guys, we're in control.
But they put numbers around the ball to keep it a contest, so they fought and fought. I thought it really was the best fourth quarter I've seen Richmond play for quite some time.
Do you know what the turning point was for Richmond, I think, and even Damien Hardwick? If you go back four games, in a lot of ways, when racehorses are going poor, they put them over the jumps just to spark them, give them something different. 4 weeks ago,
they brought out hurdles at training.
Damien Hardwick played Alex Rance as an on-baller, and he played McBean on Travis Cloak, and spun the magnets, and all of a sudden you went, wow, this is desperation.
That's what it seems like.
This is desperation, and they kicked the first four goals, Collingwood, and looked like they're going to win the game by 10 goals plus.
Rance went back.
And they said, hang on, what are we doing?
Well, since
the
that
moment they corrected...
Quarter time from that day.
It's been an amazing turnaround, and I just think... Yeah, you know, everyone gives Troy Chaplin credit for what he said. I don't think it's about what they say. It's more about what they actually do. And I just
sometimes
think
it is about what they say. Because what happens,
what
players...
What have they been saying for 8 months?
No, but they don't say anything. You can have in your internal pressure. And you guys all live and die by that. What happens internally? So you just talk crap to the outside world. Oh, no, you know, he's playing really well. He's just a bit down, but we think he'll be back. I heard your defence go, oh, there's a few holes, but, you know, we're really confident we can turn it around. Troy Chaplin...
Hang on, that's from our interview last night.
Troy Chaplin got up and just went whack, right?
Wooshka.
It just went whack and said, you know what? We've got to be men.
This is going to sound rude, right? This is going to sound
harsh.
I know
it's only words.
If Dustin Martin gets up and says that, who doesn't say anything, I reckon the whole club stops and listens.
Well,
I reckon Troy said a lot the last couple of...
No, that's his only other one interview.
I don't mind
him
saying that.
Only had one interview this year.
Troy, if you track back, has had a fair bit to say about Richmond and how they're going over the last...
But he was trotting out the same boring cliches that my mum could say. You know what? We're just not hard at the contest, yeah. Okay, we make the same mistakes. Yeah, no worries. But he went bang. Yeah. There was a slight difference. Now, with that turning around, who knows? Yep. But something changed.
It did.
Something changed at that football club, well, and that was that scrappy game against Collingwood when they got up in the afternoon.
A big positive for the Tigers also has been that they are the team that's used the most debutants for the season so far of 18 teams. And these kids are coming in and not just we're giving them airtime and they're sort of hanging around and we'll bring them back later with a few more games experience and we'll start filtering them through. The kid Corey Ellis, who got put to the bench late last night. I mean, that's just because, hey, he's an 18-year-old body. We don't want to give him 80 minutes of football because we don't want to kill him. He's good.
He's seriously good.
And kicks the ball inside their forward line beautifully.
9-4-2-9-11-16. We've got a bit of time. Ross not joining us for a little while yet. So 9-4-2-9-11-16. Tiger fans, get on and tell us, what are you thinking? What are your expectations now?
Celebrating.
And they're
booking their finals tickets.
Well, maybe they are.
And they're going out buying microwaves.
Should they be?
They blew up.
Should they be booking finals tickets?
Well, that's a good question. I didn't have them in the finals at the start of the year. I didn't think that they were as mature as what they actually are now. Their last month of football, they look like they've gained an experience now that not everyone has to be a star.
Yeah, they're
playing a role
they're
now.
They're better. I thought at the end of last year, with this group, this might be the plateau. They might get to the same again, but not go better. They are playing a more mature game, and I hope they go on, and I hope they hold this. The worry for me is in the depth of the season, when you're playing out here, and it's going to get colder, it's going to get wetter, the grounds are going to get softer, apart from Etihad. And if you want to play that retention-style game in your back half... When it gets wet and it gets windy and you're up against teams that say, all right, we're going to give you some real heat now. I dare you to take this kick. I dare you to hit this bloke up. If they get through that period, rounds 12 to 18, six games of footy, and they win four. If they win three of those six games, I'll say, yeah, they're playing finals footy. That's the hardest period of the year.
Do you think they can, following on from that, Dermot, Kingy and Dermot, do you think they can keep playing this brand of footy all the way through the year? Or do you think now other teams will, I know they would have, Fremantle were expecting it last night, but do you think that the other teams, the intelligence, the execution of what to do against them will work against them as the year goes on?
There's so many things that they're doing. They will not be able to probably repeat that first quarter. That might be their best quarter of football all year. But what they can repeat, what happened in that first quarter, was the pressure on the opposition. It was immense. So when they play the good games, that's what the pressure they must bring. But what I noticed about Richmond last night, and Dermot, I asked you this question. We had this debate 4 weeks ago on Ben Griffiths. We've had the discussion on Ty Vickery for a couple of years now. Last night, with Jack playing a really, really...
selfless. He was pretty
unbelievable.
Good, yeah, yeah.
When he was accused of being the most selfish player in the competition 3 years ago by some members here.
But he was.
Yeah, he was doing some crazy things. He was crawling around on the ground.
That's been proven correct.
Right, but he's in super, super nick.
Yeah.
Now, tell me, Derm, being the key forward, when you've got Griffiths and Vickery contributing like they did last night, I mean, like marks and goals as a key forward, that changes everything in your team.
It did. The one thing I say, the Vickery goals weren't power forward goals.
No, they weren't.
They could have been kicked by Nathan Gordon. I'm not trying to belittle it, but he could have chipped into space like that and taken those marks. But it helped unbelievably that they were three key position size players. It meant that Ibbotson at 185 centimetres had to play on Vickery or Griffiths at 200 centimetres. And then when Johnson goes down, it compounds the problem. And what actually happened then was in the swings and roundabouts, Jack starts running way out.
And
McFarlane is his kryptonite, has always been Jack's kryptonite. And McFarlane would have loved to get the fix on him. But then McFarlane says, well, it's Main and it's Ibbotson now inside defensive 50. My God, they need me.
Yep.
So he starts to roll back and peel away from Jack, thinking, I'm 6'4". I'm the tallest one back down there now. I've got to go and shut off other stuff. And then they start getting, you take Jack Ibbotson, and he gets him a little bit of a roll up, and then they start mixing up, and they start
and
to lose
panic.
Who's got the hard press on each other, and Jack gets off the chain outside 50. It was imperative that they had three key forwards of key forward size that stand up last night.
Jack's won over after six at Bunbury. All the reports are coming in off Twitter, by the way. Tommy's in Roval. The phones have gone into meltdown. We'll take a break and take some calls. Quickly get Tommy before we take that break. Hi, Tommy.
G'day, lads. How are we going?
Good, thanks. Good.
Yeah, it was a great Tiger win last night by the boys. I think you touched on it there, Robbo. The commentary last night was absolutely disgraceful. I wonder whether there was any Richmond bloke out there in the end. And the other one is, how hard is it going to be to police that ducking rule? Because clearly, Walters ducks. We know he ducks. And he ducked, and even their commentary, like as in Basil and committee, said he ducked. That's going to be really hard to police that one. And I can see a lot of people getting really frustrated.
Tommy, I don't think I don't think it's that hard to police. If you duck, you bury your head and you take on, you charge into the opposition player, it's a free kick. What Walters did was, and I still reckon it shouldn't be a free kick, but he actually did the slide. He took an overstep, and if you're standing at home while you're on your phone, take a huge step forward to do the splits. It lowers your body height, and that's what he did, and he drew the high tackle. I don't think it should be a free kick, because you, as the person looking at getting tackled, are putting yourself in danger.
But after one game, Tommy's right, because I think people were watching the game last night thinking, hang on, weren't we told during the week that was going to be a free kick or whatever? But I think it'll line.
But he didn't bury the head.
It's a tough one.
He did. He slid and he
overstepped to lower his body height.
And then he did push his head forward, and it was the forcing of the head forward.
He's got the footy, though. I mean, we've still got to protect the person who goes and wins the ball.
And I know this, but I'm telling you right now, more teams are training for this. And it's a bugbear of mine. More teams are training to draw high contact. It is going to be... You think it's bad now. You think I've been banging on. I'll stop banging on about it. It's going to turn into a bigger blight on the game. It is the go-to action deep in defence if you're under pressure. It is the go-to action for small forwards inside 25 at the other end.
Well, the game is so more congested than it's ever been. So there's more.
It's the go-to action, it's a blight on the game.
27 past 11, we do need to break. We asked for calls. We've got a heat. The Richmond fans are just coming out everywhere.
I just want to preempt one. Kingy, I want you to talk to me, and not me, the listeners, about Richmond's mid to small backmen last night. The runners, the drivers, Who's tough? Vlosten's role now. Mm. What they're trying to lock down, Hooley. Who else gets back there and helps?
Yep.
I thought their back group last night was really, really good.
All right, your calls, Ross Lyon, Damien Hardwick still to come, and all the questions that matter on all the other footy issues later on in the Crunch. Half past 11, this is 11:16 SEN Crunch time for Ringwood Mazda. When it comes to the Crunch, you won't get a better deal. Ross Lyon to join us shortly, but plenty of time for your calls before that. And George is in Glen Iris first up. G'day, George.
G'day, guys. I'm a bit of a similar theme to the last caller, but Robbo, I'd like to ask you when you said at the start about the commentary, I could not believe how much carry-on about Matt Fyfe last night. Cameron Ling, that's all he did. They're 40 points up and they're showing replays of Sandylands hitting it to Fyfe. And then every time they got a goal, Basil Zemp was, oh, here they come, they're coming again. It was unbelievable.
I found it as a neutral watching the game. It dawned on me that Richmond were like 8 goals up and all they would do was talk about Fremantle. And then at one stage, Richmond was 6 goals up, and I'm not going to say who, and one of the commentators said, this is a real test for Richmond. And I thought to myself, Richmond is 6 goals up on the road, taking on Fremantle and Fremantle. I just found it really, really odd. And with the 5-1, he's such a superstar.
When it's hard not to talk
it
about
is,
him.
And it's hard it really not to is. See him in the play, because he's just so dynamic when he goes through. But one stage there last night, George, he flew for a mark and there was 5 people flying with him. And Kameni goes, and 5 nearly got it.
Hey, George, in all honesty, we're on the same page as you. Yeah, it was a bit of overkill and there was a hometown call. But, George, have you ever seen a midfielder get the ball put down his throat as much at the stoppage?
It was extraordinary,
and
wasn't it?
Him take it on the fly? Mobile, have you ever seen that before?
No, but I'll tell you what, about 30 seconds before three-quarter time, Brent got him in an absolute crunching tackle.
Didn't he?
Got him holding the ball, and they virtually didn't mention it.
Yeah, no, that's true too. But he made a mistake.
5 couldn't get through.
No one actually mentions it. He makes a mistake.
The thing, you mentioned that, George, as a long-time Richmond supporter, I'm sure you are. Sean Griggs' last 4 weeks have been enormous.
They have, and don't forget, 2012, Robert got 11 votes in the Brownlow. Supporters always sort of make fun of him. We gave him Andy Collins, who I think played 2 games. I think he's grossly underrated.
Yeah.
Thanks for your call, George. Glenn's in Germana. G'day, Glenn. 27-12. Go for it, mate.
G'day, boys. How you going?
Good, mate.
Listen, I just wanted to say, I thought last night's game, I thought Marich was just sensational. And I think he's been sensational for the last couple of weeks. He just worked tirelessly around the ground last night. And, so I just thought he's been enormous for the club.
He's a competitor, isn't he? Let's be honest, at 6'6", he really couldn't compete against Sandilands in the palming of the ball, but his ability to get around the ground and even coming up, getting drawn into that kick you showed last night on Foxtel. Yeah. And there was one time, Glenn, when Sandilands ran at him and kneed him in the thigh at the centre bounce and palmed it down, and I looked at it and I thought, he knees one of us, someone my size in the thigh like that. That's 2 weeks holiday.
Yeah.
I'm in the pool for 2 weeks. Then you see Marich charging into the back line and compete for a mark and make it spill. Mm. He is a Hercules for them. He's not the greatest ruckman we'll ever see, but he's just a wonderful, wonderful competitor.
Thanks for your call. Let's go to Glenn from Germana. G'day, Glenn. That was Glenn. Jerry from Berwick. Hi, Jerry. I sound like Dave
Sizens.
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Look, just wondering whether there's any danger at all of Robbo getting any predictions right in the near future.
What have I predicted? Berry?
You're not long ago you predicted Carlton to win the flag, for starters.
Oh, that was in 2012.
Hey. Well, about... it, please.
What about 4 weeks ago when you said Richmond were irrelevant?
They were at the time.
Okay. They've got 70,000 members, Robbo.
No, I mentioned that. Fantastic. I actually said they've wiped out nearly $5 million of debt.
Just a little bit of feedback for Mark.
That's good feedback. They've wiped out $5 million of debt. Brendan Gale promised 70,000 members and the Richmond supporters have got on board. At 2-4, and they've lost to Melbourne, who aren't travelling that well. You can't tell me that Richmond were confident about Richmond's future.
I just disagree with the way you sort of just predict and think. You know, I mean, you're on TV, you're on the radio, you get paid well as a person on the newspapers.
Yeah.
You probably get paid better than a lot of the footballers, yet you criticise and you rarely get things right, mate.
No, I don't know about that, Jerry. I mean, I might not get a lot of things right, but that's fine.
They're just opinions, Jerry.
They're just opinions and the predictions. If I sit there and don't say anything, people are going to say, what do? You don't say anything. So, you know, I mean, you call as you see it at the time. This game is unforgiving on people who play, supporters and media. 4 weeks ago, I thought Richmond were irrelevant. They were 2-4, and they're going into Collingwood. I'm thinking if they lose that, they're out. Mm. And well done to Richmond. They turned it around.
Been an amazing turnaround. Thanks, Jerry. Octavio is next on the line from Wallet.
How are you, boys?
Good, thanks.
Did we get that right? Octavio.
My mum was drunk when she named me. So.
and you've ended up barracking for the Tigers, yeah.
That's correct. So my old man's on child abuse charges for putting me as a Richmond supporter as well.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. You've had a rough trot. What do you want to talk about?
Well, look, the last call has taken me thunder. Oh. Robbo, 4 weeks ago, you upset a lot of Richmond supporters.
Oh, I know, mate. I know.
Irrelevant.
30,000 of them contacted me last night after the game.
Now, not once did you call the football club you barrack for, not support, because you're not a member of the Essendon Football Club, irrelevant for 2 years. Now, if it wasn't for the Richmond Football Club, we need the Richmond Football Club to be up and about, because the last 2 or 3 years, the sport's copped the hammering. The sport that I love's copped the hammering. And as far as I'm concerned, Richmond need to be up and about so we can, you know, go forward as a sport, because I can tell you right now, there's 70,000 members. If they win the next 2 or 3 games, they'll probably be up near Collingwood.
Yeah, no, that would be terrific if they get to that. The point I made, and people take it personally, and it's not personal because...
They do, don't they?
But that's footy. But I take footy personally as well, so I understand why people get upset. But I said they were irrelevant, and I'm dead set on Twitter last night.
The team
was irrelevant at that point. Something had to change, because teams were going ahead, and Richmond were stagnating badly at 2-4 after 6. I'm really pleased for Richmond. I've got good friends at Richmond. I've got good friends who bag for Richmond. I'm rapt that they're playing well. And you're right, when Richmond are up and going, the competition is better.
Keep them coming, everyone.
One of my Richmond mates, he told me a stat during the week. And I love the Tigers. And Octavio, you know that... Yeah, I hook into them as well. But I love them so much, I went and bought a membership for them. I just reckon they're a wonderful club. And my Tiger mate told me a stat, and that is, after we get past the halfway mark, when it gets to round 12, Richmond are closer to the season 2050 than they are to their last premiership. That's horrible, isn't it? That is horrible.
Oh, dear. Nick is in Cranbourne. G'day, Nick.
And that came from a Richmond supporter. And they're wonderful, the Richmond supporters. They get down on themselves and they make so much colour for this footballing environment.
G'day, Nick.
How are you, mate?
Good, thanks.
How good is life, firstly?
That's exactly what we're talking about, Nick. Oh, fantastic.
Now, boys. There wasn't a surer bet than Richmond winning last night. I don't know what the hype was.
Let me finish.
Yep. Right? I had put $100 for them to win and $100 to win over 39 at $32. Ooh, right?
Jeepers.
Now all my mates got onto it and it was all good. And I'll nominate it now. We'll lose to Carlton in about 4 weeks' time. I'm telling you, just remember me, boys.
Righto.
Just remember me. I'm a die-hard Richmond supporter, but that's the frustrating thing.
We'll put you in the vault.
There wasn't a surer bet.
Well, you weren't the one who called me and said that about you're closer to the year 2050, are you?
No, mate, no. But there wasn't a surer bet. Everyone knows me in Cranbourne. They called me an idiot. I said, well, back them, and if they lose, I'll give you your money back.
Good on you, Nick. Thanks for your call.
Fantastic. We've
got to move on. They're lining magnificent. Up. Ross Lyon to join us shortly. Frank is in Perth. G'day, Frank.
Yeah, gentlemen, how are you?
All right, Frankie.
Look, Robbo, I'm on your side, mate. I'll back you. You were right. You were absolutely right. I mean, I'm a member of the club, and at 2-4, we were a disaster, being beaten by, I'm sorry to say, a hapless Bulldogs, and a club that's coached by someone who I have no time at all as a football coach, and that's Melbourne. But anyway, I want to talk to Dermy if I can. Dermy, just on your point about depth, I just want to mention a couple of things. As far as the club's concerned, we are the only club in the competition so far that's had four first game debuters in the comp this year, in McBean, Ellis.
You've had had Kegan. Seven. You've had seven all up.
But I'm saying one of them got injured on his first game, and that's a real shame because he would have been a very good player. The other thing I want to mention to you is the depth. The improvement, I don't believe, has come from the so-called stars of Richmond. Everyone knows them. But you've got to take into account, everyone's criticised Hardwick for the move of Morris into the forward line. I think it's been a fantastic move because the pressure that he applies on the so-called delegated kickers in opposition team is amazing, and he always causes a turnover. I watched him very closely last night, and he causes constant pressure without having kicks, without having goals. Batchelor, Grimes, Ellis, Vlostone, these are the guys that have stepped up and made the difference. And
Grimes has been very good in the last month.
You know, and he's stepped in the twos, Dermy. I mean, you know, we haven't seen the best of Rhys Conker yet. He's still there. Ben Lennon. There's still Chrissy Newman that's available. David Ashbury. There's a bit of depth there. That team. The only player that we cannot cover is Ivan Marriage. And that's the only one.
Yeah, that's a reasonable call.
Good call.
Reasonable call. Where is Chris Newman?
He came back from injury.
But where is he at this point? Because Grimes,
does he get Hurley, back?
They're going with Vlostone, and I tell you what, I thought Jake Batchelor was going to struggle.
Yeah, he's improved.
I thought his performance last night was really, really good.
He still makes some blues, and I'm a big fan of Jakey. I mean, the first goal that, what's his name, Tabana kicked, if you actually slow down the replay, Jakey Batchelor is leading Tabana to that contest. The ball goes over their heads and he runs back with the flight of the ball, and for some reason Jake splits to one side of the pack, and Tabana runs goal side inside, the ball lands to him, and then when Jakey says, oh, I've got to get to him now, he's 5 metres behind him. He does things like that. But one thing he can do, for a bloke who's a pseudo sub-size key position player, he can kick the ball.
Peter's our last caller before we break and come back with Ross Lyon. Hi, Peter.
G'day. Quick one for Jeremy.
Yep.
Jeremy, I'm a forsaken tiger, and even Juno cracked it for a smile last night.
Good on you, Pete. These are the boys we're talking about. Yeah, good on you.
Just a quickie. Nat Fyfe, the Fox footy team gave him second best on ground last night. Well, we're a little bit blinded by his other games. I mean, second best on ground, really? A lot of his disposals weren't very effective last night. What do you think?
65% efficiency.
I didn't think he was in the best three last night.
No, I did.
Nine clearances, 21. Yeah. He had the most pressure acts.
Yeah, that's fine.
On the ground, nine clearances.
Dustin Martin was really good. I thought Trent Cotchin and Fyfe were round about. Fyfe a little bit better.
I had my five were Martin, Fyfe. I thought Cotchin, and also I thought Sanderlands was stiff not to get in. Just his ability to win the ball gave Fremantle a chance to come back at them. And, of course, Edwards. I just thought he was phenomenal at winning the ball and throwing it forward. And if you're pushing it forward and the opposition aren't playing one extra behind, it ain't your fault that you're getting beaten.
Peter, that's a really good call about Nate Fyfe. And you wonder, Do we, all of us, the media, the fans, just say, oh, another 30 or 28 from Fyfe, he's in the best players? He was good, but I reckon I judge a game of football like I thought Vlostone last night.
Thought he was good second half.
Yeah, I thought Vlostone last night was outstanding and was his best game of the year, worthy of votes ahead of Nathan Fyfe, who had an impact on the game, but maybe his fifth, sixth best game of the year. You try and sort of weigh it up.
The only thing I'd say about Fife's game is, and I deliberately tried to not jump on the Fyfe. bandwagon because everybody was on it. It's just undeniable. I mean, the bloke had 26 possessions.
Oh, I know. Mate, 20 of them were
20 of them contested, nine clearances.
Oh, no. He was, and Lockie Neal had 11 clearances.
He didn't get enough uncontested ball. He was terrible.
Yeah, no. He didn't get around the ground enough, but he still got most possessions, I think, from memory for them. But
no, Lockie Neal got most of them.
Yeah, that's what I mean, Lockie Neal.
All right, we'll break. It's 11:45. Sorry. We're back with Ross Lyon next here on Crunch Time with thanks to Ringwood Mazda. Doing a camp to the crunch, you won't get a better deal.